John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I want to read it once more, and then you can be seated. Let not your heart, speaking to believers now, speaking to followers of Christ, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You can be seated. We're looking tonight again in another aspect of the troubled heart, and we've looked at some common points about, and I'm not going to go back over those, we've looked at some common points about the troubled heart. This morning we focused in on some of the caused problem, what causes the problem of a troubled heart. And by the way, we need to look at it as a problem. If you have an agitated heart spiritually in your life, listen, don't look at that favorably or friendly. Look at that as a problem. And so we dealt with that this morning, different aspects of that. But also I want to deal thirdly tonight with the collapsing path of a troubled heart. He's dealing with Peter directly, no doubt about it. He's ended chapter 13 dealing with Peter personally and directly. Comes straight out of the last verse of chapter 13 into chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. He's speaking to all the followers, but no doubt he's directly dealing with Peter. No doubt about that. He's specifically dealing with the man that is exhibiting the fact that he has a heart that's agitated. Was his heart agitated over sin? Was his heart agitated over other disciples? No, his heart was agitated and troubled over what Jesus said he was going to be doing. Now you know you're in trouble when what Jesus does agitates you. You know you're in spiritually bad shape when what Jesus does or doesn't do begins to trouble you, as it was with Peter. And we dealt with some of those things this morning. But I want to talk about the collapsing path. When you take and look at Peter in chapter 13, verse 37 and 38, and then you look at where he shows back up in chapter 18, we're going to look at that in a little bit, and then some things that's said about Peter after that, I'm going to tell you, Peter fell all to pieces. His spiritual life did. And before we begin dealing with this, I want to say to all of us, What is in the heart is going to come out. And probably one of the greatest verses, and everybody ought to commit it to memory, is Proverbs 4:23. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Here it is, listen. For out of it are the issues of life. Now, if you take that verse and you have a troubled heart, and out of your heart is the issues of life, and my heart's troubled, then what comes out of my heart is going to be trouble. Does that make sense to you? I want it to make sense. I want you to get that. If my heart is troubled, then what comes out of my heart is going to be no good. It's going to be trouble. And so that's kind of the idea that we're going to be dealing with here in these verses. Look, if you will, back. Let's read... Let's read verse 37 and 38, well, 36, 7 and 8 of chapter 13. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? And look at this next statement. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou, listen, you're talking about collapsing? You're talking about falling apart? Here's a man that just said to Jesus, I'll die for you. And Jesus said, you're fixing to deny me. You know why Jesus said that? Brother Fultz, Jesus, and I wrote that down this afternoon. Jesus didn't say that to Peter as a predetermined destiny. Peter, because of this, I determine right now you're going to deny me. No, no. That would make Jesus responsible. But Jesus, who knows the end from the beginning, Jesus, having perfect knowledge, knows the future as well as he knows the past. And he says to Peter to show him, as long as you're being influenced by a troubled heart, as long as you're under the control of a troubled heart, let me tell you what you're going to end up doing. You're not going to die for me. You're going to deny me. Good, not have mercy. Can you imagine what that did to Peter? Hey, can I ask y'all a question? I thought about this today as I was rereading this scripture and rethinking, just looking at it. When Peter said in verse 37, I will lay down my life for thy sake, do you think he meant that? Or do you think he was just saying that? I'll tell you what I believe. He meant every word of it. But I'll tell you what a troubled heart will do. It'll destroy determination. You can be determined, I'm not going to quit, I'm going to go on, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to fight a good fight, I'm going to finish my course, I'm going to stay with God, I'm not quitting no matter what other people do. But I want to tell you what, if you let a troubled heart abide within you and control you and influence you, you'll do things in the future that you never thought that you would do. Can you imagine? It don't say what happened between verse 38 and chapter 4, verse 1. Peter might have said, Lord, you got to be kidding. I am going to deny you three times? Can you imagine what that said to Peter? Lord, do you not have any confidence in me? Lord, I love you. I'm going to die. I'm willing to die for you. But Lord, you're telling me that I'm going to deny you? Oh, listen. Man, that got big to my heart, amen. But Peter, Jesus told Peter of the future of a troubled heart. If you keep walking the path of a troubled heart, he said, Peter, here's exactly what's going to happen. You are going to collapse. You're going to fall apart spiritually. And listen, I've seen many do it. I've seen preacher friends do it. I've seen people that have been walking with God for years and been in church for years fall absolutely all to pieces spiritually. And you've seen it. We've all seen it. But I want to know the reality of it. I don't want to experience it. I want to know in my heart that if I allow a troubled, agitated heart to stay and reside and influence my life, Brother Carroll, that it's no telling what I'll end up doing. Nobody in here stand up and say, I'll never. Watch it now. I'll never get out of church. I'll never quit. I'll never throw in the towel. I'll never this. I'll never that. Hey, as far as you know, you won't. But if you allow anything inside of you except a spiritual heart, you don't know what you'll do. In my Christian life, I've been amazed at how sorry I've been at times. And y'all don't have to look so sanctified on that either. Amen. I've been amazed at that. Get troubled, get aggravated, get agitated, get burdened, bothered, bitter, everything else. Next thing you know, just in that, my spiritual life starts collapsing and falling to pieces. Listen to this. A troubled heart is the birthplace of trouble. A troubled heart, Brother Mike, is the birthplace of trouble. Do you think you could have a troubled heart without trouble coming from it? As it was illustrated with Peter, listen. A troubled heart became a troubled heart because of receiving troubles. Let not your heart be troubled. That meant that Peter allowed it to come in, that Peter opened the door, that Peter let it in. Now watch this. A troubled heart became a troubled heart because it received. It was on the receiving end of trouble. But that's not the only side there is to a troubled heart. There is the receiving end, and you better watch that. And you are responsible for that, what you let in. But there's not just a receiving end of trouble into your heart. There is a releasing end of trouble. That is, out of your heart are the issues of life. And what's in your heart comes out. I thought of a sponge. A sponge has both. It has a receiving end as it soaks up. But then it comes to a place where that sponge can't handle no more and it's full, and the slightest pressure then begins to release what's in it. And I don't know, ladies don't do much washing dishes anymore with sponges. I know you wanted me to add that in there. But I want to tell you, how many of you remember back years ago that Mama then would wash dishes, you know, with sponge, old sponge, and then they would just... They'd wring it out and just lay it over on the sink. Well, that thing, man, I'm going to tell you what, there'd be time to get to stinking. Why? Because of what's in it. It was stale and stagnant and a haven for bacteria, amen. Of course, we didn't know no different. I was, and my sister would deny it, but she's not here and I'm preaching, so I was the dishwasher in our house. I'm telling you, I remember it vividly. My sister said she washed the dishes. I don't ever remember that. She says she raked leaves. I don't ever remember her raking leaves. She says she mopped the basement floor. I don't ever remember that mop handle being in her hand, ever. I'm not bitter. I'm just stating facts. But I remember standing in a chair, Brother Brian, and washing dishes. I wasn't even big enough to reach the sink. And I had to wash dishes on Sunday morning before we went to church. And I did a real good job at it. Boy, I better cut that off, because I'm seeing things I could say about years ago when me and my wife got married, but I'm not going to go there, because I might have a troubled heart. But there's a receiving side, and then there's a releasing side of a troubled heart. Troubles around you is not as dangerous and destructive as troubles within you, because troubles within you doesn't stay within you. It'll come out through actions and attitude and so on. I wrote this down: troubles without can influence your heart within, but beware when your troubled heart within starts troubling you without. Beware of that. A troubled heart, if left alone, will fill your life with negative happenings and involvements. The worst thing you can do is tolerate a troubled heart. Allow it to stay. Allow it to be there. And by the way, I'm going to say it again, a troubled heart is not spiritual. A troubled heart is not of God. A troubled heart, 100%, is of the flesh, and we need to watch it. We all know how that a troubled heart can affect us negatively. A troubled heart has been in the leadership of many great calamities. Many great calamities has been the result of a troubled heart, undealt with. I wrote down a few. People have got out of the walk and will of God because of a troubled heart. Some have quit their ministries due to a troubled heart. Marriages have been destroyed. Many of them have because of a troubled heart. That instead of getting fixed, was tolerated and fueled and inflamed by blame. Many life-altering decisions have been made from a troubled heart getting in the driver's seat of life. Oh yeah. There's been a lot of young people made decisions the regret of it will go to the grave with them. Because in a time of a troubled heart, they listened to their flesh and they gave over to, listen, they gave over to what things they thought might fix that troubled heart. And sin will never fix it. Sin will never fix it. Amen? And so there's been a lot of bad things happen as a result of a troubled heart. The flesh will never make spiritual suggestions of dealing with a troubled heart. I want you to get that simple little thought. The flesh will never suggest spiritual remedies for a troubled heart. No, the flesh will say, you need to be drunk, or you need to be on drugs, you need to smoke dope, or you need to not go to church, you need to go party, you need this and that and the other. And they're never spiritual suggestions, they're never scriptural suggestions. You say, preacher, my flesh will never tell me to do that. Are you kidding me? Your flesh is as wicked as it's ever been, and mine is as well. My flesh is not saved, nor is yours. So you better watch it. I'm just going to run through these quick. I noted this, the first collapse that I see with Peter is deception. When you read the last couple of three verses of chapter 13, it's very evident that Peter thinks that he knows better than the Lord. Now I want to tell you, you can look at that every how you want to, but that's bad. Amen? Jesus said, I'm leaving, I'm departing, I'm going. This is the purpose I come here for, was to go to the cross. And Peter says, and of course Peter told him, or Jesus told Peter, you can't follow me now, but afterwards. Well, that upset Peter. What do you mean I can't follow you now? Why can I not follow thee now? He begins to question the Lord. As if what Jesus said wasn't good enough. He began to question the Lord. He thought he knew better than the Lord. John doesn't tell it, but I believe it's Matthew that shows where Peter just really got abrasive to the Lord and said, oh no, be it far from thee, Lord. It is not going to happen. You are not leaving, and you are not going to die, and you're not going to be crucified. What about that? So deception comes into the picture. You'll start thinking you're right when you're not right. You'll start thinking you know best when you don't know best. And Peter's prideful boast of laying his life down for Christ's sake was deeply rooted in a troubled heart with anger and aggression. Yep, a troubled heart is a destroyer of many great spiritual qualities. He meant what he said when he said, I will lay down my life for thy sake. He meant that, but he was deceived. A second thing, I don't have time to deal with all these extensively, but the second thing I notice is that not only there was deception in his life because of a troubled heart, but also he became defensive. He became defensive with the Lord, and then he became defensive for the Lord. You remember this morning I told you that the very next time that Peter's name mentioned after John 13 verse 37, the very next time his name is used is in chapter 18 of of John's gospel. And you know what the first thing it was said? You remember that from this morning? The very first thing that was said was, in chapter 18, in verse number 10, then Simon Peter, having his sword, he drew it. He's defensive. He's walking anger. He's ready. In fact, he didn't just draw that sword; he was using it. There was Malchus, the servant of the high priest, standing in front of him. And I don't know, some people say they believe that Peter meant to come right down on top of his head. But Malchus maybe moved a little bit and he cut his ear off. Here's a man that's still struggling with control. He's taking matters into his own hands. he thinks fighting for the Lord in this regard is the right thing to do. But Peter, Jesus rebuked him. Matthew, I believe it's Matthew that adds a little detail there that I think is interesting. I preached on it here before. But Jesus reached and got Malchus's ear that had been cut off and stuck it back on the side of his head and healed him. I still remember preaching on that here years ago. I preached on Jesus is able to fix my failures. And I'm glad he is. But Jesus put that ear back on, but then he rebuked Peter and told him to put his sword in the sheath. I say, getting defensive. Boy, have you ever been around somebody that's defensive? You can't even brag on their shoes or their hair or their garden without them taking offense at that and becoming defensive. That's a part of the pathway of collapse in the life of a person who has a troubled heart. Thirdly, and these are just various aspects that I could point out, Luke 22:54, the Bible says that he followed Christ afar off. He followed Christ afar off. Chapter number 18 of John, you find Peter there when they in the garden. They come and get Jesus. They arrest Jesus. And Peter was following, but he was following at a distance. So the third thing that's a part of the collapsing path of a troubled heart is that of distance. You become distant between you and the Lord. You may still be going to church, but you're distant between you and the Lord. You may still be carrying a King James Bible, but there's distance between you and the Lord. A troubled heart will lead you to be distant from the Savior, though you're still following Him. You're following afar off. You've heard me make the statement about that term, following afar off. Peter's problem was not direction. Peter's problem was distance. So distance becomes a part. You say, preacher, not me. Oh, yes. A troubled heart doesn't seek to get close to the Lord. A troubled heart seeks distance from the Lord. And then, of course, it moves on. It just keeps decaying. It just keeps falling apart. It goes from deception and defensive and distance now, full-blown denial. Three times, Peter was called on the carpet. You're one of them. You're one of his. I saw you in the garden with him. And he said, I don't know him. I'm not his. I don't know. And in fact, he even got so upset about it to try to make his stand forceful. The Bible said he even cursed. He even cursed and said, I know not the man. Can you remember? Can we get a hold of that? That just a few days, not long before that, he's saying, Lord, I'll fight for you. I'll die for you. I'll lay down my life for you. Well, here, three times back to back, he said, I don't know him. How can a person stoop that low? How can a person go to that extent? Jesus is saying, Peter, as long as you have a troubled heart in you, trouble's going to be coming out of you, and there's going to be a collapsing path in your life. Amen. A denial. The same mouth that said, I'll die for you, is now the same mouth saying, I don't know him. Are you denying the Lord? Did you know you may not deny the Lord verbally, but you can deny the Lord the way you live? You can cover up your profession by the way you live? Amen. And I'm telling you, friend, I preach it here, but there's very few churches that do hear it preached. You can believe that. That how you live proclaims who you are. Amen. Though many of us, I don't know a person in here that would stand up anywhere, here or anywhere, and say, I don't know Christ, I don't know him when you do know him. I don't know nobody do that. But how many covers up your life with God with carnality and you know, disguise your identity? Peter began not only that, he moved from being deception and defensive and distance and denial. He now moves to a place of I didn't know a better word to use than to diversify. Peter began to dissolve his identity. He began to warm himself with the enemy's fire. He begins to, when Jesus was being arrested and is being taken in to be persecuted, Peter warms himself by the fire of the enemy. And the damsel come by and said, I know you. You were with him. You're one of his. No, I'm not. My goodness, I've been preaching 37 years. I don't want to ever get over that. Can you imagine somebody can stoop that low? And if Peter did, you can. I can. He began to dissolve his identity. He began to blend in. He began to warm himself by the same fire that the enemy was warming themselves by. He began to blend in. That's always a sign, a bad sign. When you start taking away your distinction, amen. When you start doing away with your distinctives, or could I say it another way? When you start doing away with your convictions and you start blending in, that always identifies a heart trouble. Oh, yes. And I've seen it here. I've seen it here. Amen. Where people make decisions. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I'm going to dress this way. I'm going to not do this. I'm not going to wear that. Why? For the cause of Christ. I won't have a testimony for the Lord. But as various things starts playing into the role of your life, you begin to lay things aside. You begin to throw things down. You begin to lay things down. Now you blend in. You look like the rest of the crowd you run with. Peter did that. Peter did that. And I'll tell you what else Peter did. Peter disappeared. From chapter 13 to chapter 18, Peter's gone, nowhere to be found. Or at least there's no address of him. Let me give you something to think about. Where was Peter at when Jesus was on the cross? Was it that, oh yeah, Lord, I'll die for you? Oh yeah, Lord, I will. It's amazing how many people say they'd die for the Lord and won't live for him. If Peter ought to have been a friend to Jesus at any time, it should have been when Jesus was going through the worst experience of his entire life, when he was hanging between heaven and earth, bearing the sins of the world. Peter ought to have been there to support him. But where was Peter? Nowhere to be found. You say, what's that, preacher? I believe that's just another step of the collapsing path of a troubled heart. You'll disappear. When Jesus needs you most, you won't be there. My goodness, Lord, help us. Amen. He disappeared. He was missing at the cross. And watch this. After the resurrection, when John and Peter went to the tomb, John went in the tomb. Brother Scott, Peter wouldn't even go in. Bible said he stood without. He wouldn't even go in. Actually, amen. I don't know if he's ashamed. Probably was. I've denied the Lord. Now let me give you something that the Lord says in Luke 22:61 about that. Just hang on a minute. I'll get that one next. But he's disappeared. Where Peter ought to be, and he wasn't. Where he should have been, he wasn't. Where Jesus needed him to be, he wasn't. I want to depend on the Lord. But how many of us wants the Lord to be able to depend on us? Can he count on us? Can he count on us when the trials come, when the storm come, when the difficulties arise? Can he count on us? Or will he, we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know. Lord, help me. I pray God will help us to not be that disappearing Christian that just vanishes, that's not standing up for the Lord. But also it led to disappointment. You know, disappointment's hard to deal with. There's been a lot of people that's failed God and the devil's beat them up with it. Disappointment. Can you imagine how Peter felt when he denied the Lord that third time and the cock crowed? And I believe it's maybe Luke. Yeah, it's Luke's account, chapter 22, adds a little detail that helps us see something. Chapter 22, verse 61. I'll read 60. And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And look at this. You're talking about disappointment. Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know what now Peter's weeping over? I have failed the Lord. I let my Lord down. Does that bother us this evening? Does that bother us when we let the Lord down? When the Lord, amen, needs us to stand with Him and stand for Him, but we end up denying Him. Why? To save our own hide and to try to miss out on some persecution. Disappointment. He went out and wept bitterly. You know what I was thinking this afternoon? What if Peter had dealt with his troubled heart back in John 14? What if Peter would have said, "You know what? Lord, you're right. I need to deal with this. I need to get this agitated spirit out of me. I need to deal with this." And you know what I believe would have never happened? I believe that the denial of the Lord would have been avoided. I don't believe he'd have ever cut Malchus's ear off if he'd have got right with God earlier in the chapters, if he'd have took Jesus' word for it. When Jesus dealt with him about the troubled heart, he should have said, "Lord, I'm sorry. I do have a troubled heart. I do have an agitated heart. I don't like change. I don't like what's happening. I don't want you to leave us, but you know best, and I'm just going to trust you." He should have done that. He probably would have been spared all of this heartache and disappointment. He would have probably been spared. But he didn't get right with God till he hit bottom. And that's when he denied the Lord the third time, and the cock crowed. And you know what Peter did? Peter turned and he looked, and when he turned and looked, Jesus was looking at him. Jesus never said a word. "See, I told you, you saw it, nothing." He just looked at him. Can you imagine the look on the face of the Son of God when he looked at a man that had said previously, "I'll die for you," and here he is denying him? Don't you know that it hurt the Lord? No doubt it hurt the Lord. And Peter had disappointment. But that's not the end of it. There's one more step. Peter departed. After the resurrection of Christ, guess what happened? You know what Peter said? "I'm going fishing." John 21. And I've preached on it. I'm telling you, there's no way to interpret that but this. Peter is saying, "I'm quitting." Peter is saying, "I'm going back to what I used to do and where I used to be and how I used to live. And you know what amazes me? What absolutely amazes me is that all of the other disciples, including John, said, "We're going with you." Now that one right there, buddy, gets me. Of all people, John got influenced by Peter. When you have a troubled heart, when you start falling apart and you start collapsing, those people that's got confidence in you, they'll start collapsing. People that trust you, people that looks up to you, when they see you starting denying the Lord and they see you start warming yourself and blending in with the enemy and all of the things that goes with it, listen, I'll tell you what it's going to do to them. It's going to shake them. It's going to shake them, and they'll, you know what? "Hey, we're going with you. I'm quitting church. Nobody ever quits by themselves, Brother Fultz. Nobody ever quits by themselves. When you, listen, you quit, you fall, listen, you fall prey to a troubled heart and you get sucked out, I'm going to tell you, somebody's going to follow you. Somebody's just going to go with you. They said to Peter, we're going with you. Can you believe that? I don't ever want to be that way. You know what Peter ought to have? You know what John and all the others, you know what they should have said? Peter, I love you, man. I love you. But you denied the Lord. You said you didn't even know the Lord. You wasn't there at the cross. You listen, Peter, I'm sorry. I'm not going with you. That's what they should have said. Peter, I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you. You're not influencing me, Peter. I love you. I'm going to be praying for you, but I'm not going with you. But that wasn't the case. Every single one of them, especially the one that stands out most to me is John. John, the one that loved Jesus more than any, and the one that Jesus loved more than any, the one that was the closest of all the disciples to the Lord, literally laid his head on the bosom of the Savior at one point, actually probably more than once. And you know what? John got caught up in the whole discouraging thing and said, you know what? I'm going with you. I can't wait till next week. I know we've been negative and I know we've tried to paint a bad picture of a troubled heart, but I'm going to tell you it don't have to be permanent. It don't have to be final. That same bunch that said we're leaving, we're quitting, we're going fishing, we're done with this, that same crowd out there toiling all night and catching nothing. Who was it that was the aggressor in the occasion that took the initiative, stepped on the shore and said, get this now, y'all ready? Children! I believe I'd have called them something besides that. Jesus. Children, have you any meat? He said, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. That's usually the end result of a troubled heart. And you know what Jesus said to them? Come and dine. Jesus talking to those that had been given the troubled heart and the collapsing path, amen, and quit. Jesus said, come and dine. And they came and he fed them with fish on the fire. You know what that told them? I forgive you. I forgive you. I want restored fellowship. I forgive you. I don't know if you got a troubled heart tonight or not, but if you do, don't look at that lightly. Because there's collapse and trouble going to come out of you if it's in you. May God help us. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, thank you tonight for the Word of God. I want to thank you for speaking to me, speaking to us. Lord, we may not have a troubled heart, but may we put up a guard against it. May we put up a guard against it and store these truths in our heart for future times when we're being tempted to have a troubled heart. Lord, I pray that you'll help me, Lord, to realize that discouragement comes from a troubled heart. Departure from the faith, departure from living for the Lord and will of God and the work of God. All of those things happen when there's a troubled heart. Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name, help me to always side with you against myself. Please help me not to be like Peter that was defensive and stood up and thought he knew more than you did. Lord, help me to just take my place in humility and say, Lord, I know that I'm prone to wander. Oh, Lord, I feel it. Lord, I want to be able to say, Lord, I'm weak and I'm frail and feeble, and I know, Lord, that I can deny you, and I know, Lord, that I can depart, and I know, Lord, that I can lose my distinction and blend in with the enemy, and Lord, I know that, Lord, and I don't want to do that. Lord, I need your help. I need you, God, to help me. I need that troubled heart done away with. I need a cure. I need to be healed in the area of that troubled heart. Dear Lord, I don't know what people are facing in this congregation, people that are watching. I don't know what they're facing, what they're dealing with in life, and they're troubled within. And the devil's given suggestions that they just need to drink more alcohol, or they need to party more, or they need to smoke dope and pop pills, and they need all of this, that, and the other. But none of those things ever do away with a troubled heart. It only will numb things for a few moments. It'll only dull our senses for a few moments. But the reality of a troubled heart will still be there when we awaken in the morning. But oh God, I'm glad there's spiritual help for us. I'm glad there's victory for a troubled heart, over a troubled heart. Lord, I don't want to wait till I deny you to try to start trying to fix a troubled heart. I don't want to wait, Lord, till I've departed and I'm nowhere to be found and, oh, influencing other people in a wrong way before I start trying to deal with things. God, help me to realize, Lord, when I'm agitated in my heart, when my heart is troubled, when my heart is in turmoil, like a boiling water, it's just constantly moving. Like the waves of the sea, just constantly crashing and rising and crashing and rising and crashing, just constant trouble. Or there may be people in this room and there may be people watching, dear Lord, tonight that they've been made aware through the preaching, Lord, that you're the only answer for them, that you're the only hope for them, and that you're the only help for them. And Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you'll deal with them. Lord, that these altars will have people in them dealing with their whatever's inside of them. Whether it's bitterness or troubles, whatever, may they come and say, Lord, I'm scared. I'm scared of when my heart is not spiritual, my heart is not scriptural, my heart is not right. I'm scared of where it may take me. I'm scared of the collapsing path that I will go down and I will end up doing what I thought I would never do, and I will end up disappointing my Savior, and I will end up influencing other people in the wrong way instead of for the Lord. I will influence them to quit as well. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Help our church. Quitting is not an option. Throwing in the towel is not an option. But dealing with our heart, Lord, and asking you as David did in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God. Lord, maybe some need to get in this altar. Some need to bow where they're watching and they need to say, oh God, I want all of this in me, out of me. I want this bitterness and this hurt out of me. I've been abused. I want that out of me. I want to have forgiveness in my heart. I want to be right. I want to leave judgment to you in your hands. Lord, there's people going to carry bitterness to the grave. They're going to carry unforgiveness to the grave. Things happen in their life that they didn't want, they didn't ask for, but it happened and they've been forced to deal with it. Lord, tonight may be the night that they need to release that and say, Lord, I'm giving that to you. I may not have asked for the actual happening, but I am giving you the results. I'm responding tonight. I'm releasing that. I'm getting that junk out of me. I'm getting that bad spirit out of me. I'm getting that bitterness out of me. I'm getting that ill will and unforgiveness out of me. I'm getting that grudge out of me. I'm getting that out of me. I want to be free tonight. I want to be right with God. I'm sick and tired of being controlled with a troubled heart. Lord, have your way, Father. I know that what I'm praying, Lord, is not easy. I know that what I'm praying actually is not even possible in the flesh. But I know that being right with you and having a clean heart in us, Lord, I know that that is possible through the Holy Ghost. When we take our baggage and we take our bondage and we take those things, Lord, in our life and put them in your hands and ask you to forgive us. Lord, you did say, and you still mean it, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I want to thank you here and out and right now, God, for help that is being received. Help that is being received. Lord, I pray for parents that are struggling with this area of a troubled heart, and it's causing them to even corrupt their children. They're starting to allow things that they once did not allow. They're starting to condone things that once they used to condemn. They're starting to be tolerant about things that they used to have a conviction about. And Lord, they're bringing about a ruin spiritually of their children. Parents could be doing the same. Brothers and sisters doing the same. Neighbors doing the same. Work associates doing the same. Please help us. I can't help people if I need help. I can't help people, Lord, if I'm in a mess. I can't help people that are troubled in their spirit and in their heart. I can't help them. Lord, if I'm troubled, I want to thank you, Lord, for the seriousness of these messages, God, that you're sending, Lord, to us and through us. I trust we'll receive it. Lord, I've learned that in these past few months, Lord. I've had to come to the place where, Lord, I put it in your hands. What I saw was agitating, constantly agitating, couldn't sleep, constantly gnawing at me, constantly. Bringing about physical issues. Bringing about spiritual deadness, spiritual difficulty, spiritual lack of discernment, just becoming a mess. And Lord, you worked in my heart to take my hands off of those things and put it in your hands and let you have it. And Lord, there was a freedom. There was a freedom that come in my spirit. There, Lord, was a freedom that I enjoy even now. Many of the circumstances have not changed, but Lord, there's a freedom in my spirit. And I think about Paul in Acts 27. The storm still raging and it's still dark. And it still looked like a disaster, still sounded like a disaster. But he spent some time, Lord, with you. And you gave him a word. And he stepped up back out on the ship, the deck of the ship, and said to the people, and it's still dark and still raging, be of good cheer, for I believe God, for it shall be even as it was told me. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He had liberty and joy in his heart, though it was still dark and raging. It's not the storm around me, Lord, that causes me trouble. It's when that storm gets in me and starts making me doubt and starts chipping away my confidence and starts putting in my life disbelief. Lord, that's when trouble comes. That's when decline comes. And Lord, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I want this to be a good day. Tomorrow, when my feet hit the floor, I want to be able to say this will be a good day. And I'll try my best to dismiss things, thoughts in my mind that would try to cloud up the day and focus on that which will give me a Christ-like attitude. Lord, there's some people watching. There's some people listening right here in this service. They're miserable, absolutely miserable. Because they're spending their time, spending their wheels trying to fix it, trying to figure it out. Instead of just casting all of our cares upon you. Sink or swim, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm a goner. I put my eternal destiny, I put my soul salvation, I put everything, Lord, in your worthy, proven hands. I'm taking you at your word because you said what you meant and meant what you said, and you cannot lie. Thank you for victory tonight. Have your way in Jesus' name.